from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good evening, everybody. Just a few seconds after 7 o'clock, it is NHL Draft Night. We're excited to be with you here on a Friday night, late June. Sabres ready to go for their draft tonight, at least round one. The rest will be tomorrow, but they are in Vegas at the Sphere, where our Paul Hamilton is. We'll check in with Paul coming up in just a few moments. Brian Colziel, Brayton Wilson, Josh Schmidt is with me here as well. Josh will be keeping us updated on the picks and the rumors and all the good stuff that are coming from around the hockey world tonight as the Sabres are getting set. As of this moment, if nothing changes, to pick in the first round at pick 14. They have two in the second round, which again will be tomorrow. And we'll find out what's going to happen in terms of maybe are they going to make a move? Will Kevin Adams decide to move pick number 14? We know, of course, if you're just maybe tuning in and didn't follow the draft news over the last day or so, the Sabres were originally at pick number 11, but have since moved that in a trade to move down to pick number 14. They picked up an additional second-round draft pick with the San Jose Sharks in that deal. So we've got a lot to get to here over the course of our coverage tonight. We'll be with you throughout round one, and if something incredibly exciting happens, maybe longer. We'll find out. We'll see if the Sabres do something, who, again, are scheduled to be picking at number 14. Okay, let's go. Before we bring in Brayton or Josh, let's go to Vegas. And the place to be tonight, Paul Hamilton. Paul is live in Las Vegas. I can see the headline outside. Good evening, Paul. You're like Wayne Newton tonight for WGR.
I thought you were going to say Wayne Gretzky.
Or Wayne Gretzky. That works. That maybe is more appropriate for hockey. You're right. So set the scene for us, Paul. I'm sure everybody listening have seen the outside of the Sphere. What does it look like inside?
Honestly, I'm probably more impressed with the outside than the inside. It's really cool, the projections they do out there. It blows you away, especially when it's nighttime. It's just crazy. I mean, what they can do. And here, it's interesting because you have the seating on the one side. It's pretty high. I'm almost positive it's higher than the Bills football stadium at the top seat up top. Than the upper deck down in Orchard Park. I think the people here are actually higher.
Wow.
Because they're basically at the ceiling here. So it's the stands are pretty cool. As I look back at them and look up, the projections that they can do here, that's pretty cool also. What they're doing here. So that, you know, that's pretty cool too. I don't know.
Are you on the floor, Paul, or are you...
I am on the floor. Okay. We're not on risers, so I cannot see the teams other than the ones that are, like, right in front of me.
Right.
Those are the only teams I can see, which is not the Buffalo Sabres. So I'm basically blocked by that. Getting the players will be a little dicey because instead of everything being on one floor, we have to take an elevator up to the fifth floor to go talk to a player, and that unfortunately means it's going to be very difficult, if impossible, to get the pick on the air with us, but we are going to try our best and do our best, and the Sabres will do their best in trying to help us as best they can. And it's nothing, nobody's fault, it's the venue. I mean, this really isn't an event that should be here, but, you know, it's the Sphere, it's Vegas. you know, it's good publicity for the NHL, but logistics-wise, it's pretty much a nightmare.
Yeah, and Paul, I guess we should, as we're talking up how it's a unique venue and maybe a very recognizable one and one to promote the league, this is the last year the league is planning on doing something like this, right? Isn't it going to be next year where they switch it, where the teams will actually stay, I guess, in their, you want to call it, home offices, right? They'll be back in Buffalo, and unless maybe this gets such a good feedback from teams that maybe they decide, you know what, we're gonna go back to Vegas again. But it seems like a natural fit. I mean, the awards ceremony in Vegas seems like a really nice opportunity to reward players and their families to be there, and then you could have the draft anywhere else in Vegas. I'm sure it could work, even if they feel like logistically the Sphere isn't the best spot. But what are your thoughts on the draft, maybe just kind of moving in terms of the logistics to not having everyone in the same spot?
Well, this will not get a good grade from the teams, and it could be anywhere. They want to be at their home arena. They don't want to pick up all their computers and all their notes and everything and their scouts and move across country. That's one of the reasons. I mean, the teams are the reasons why they want to stop this. Well, plus, you would save money, too, but it's like we've got everything set up in our own arena, and then we just got to pick up and go somewhere else and then get set up again. So it wouldn't matter where it is. The teams are not going to say this is great. They want to do it basically the way the NFL does it. Although, you know, the NFL last, what do you want to say, X amount of years, however long they've been doing, not long, where they've actually had fans now come to the draft. And the players have always come out, but now you have a lot more fans there. They make it an event, but the teams aren't there. So, you know, it's so I don't know if they'll do something where players will be in a specific place or not, but I think next year the organizations will be in their home arenas and they will be very happy they are.
Yeah. Paul Hamilton is live in Vegas, back here in our Amherst studios. Brian Colziel, Brayton Wilson, Josh Smith, TJ Luckman is producing. We'll be keeping you posted on any news. Josh is going to be monitoring all the rumors and trades or moves that maybe be going down here. And Brayton, of course, has got his mock draft up. If you want to check it out, WGR550.com. Brayton knows the prospects very well, so he'll be giving us some insight on what happens as we go throughout the night. And Paul, speaking of insight, Kevin Adams spoke obviously a few times this week at different times, one of which was about a trade, which moved the Sabres from pick 11 to pick 14. For those that maybe haven't heard your take on it yet, the Buffalo does pick up a second-round draft pick by moving down three spots. What do you think of just the trade standing alone and how he did?
Excellent. I mean, I think it was fantastic value to be able just to go down three spots and pick up an extra second-round pick. I don't think you can turn that down. And one is not the other. A lot of fans were like flipping out. We don't need picks, whatever. That's not what that is. That's different from trading the 14th overall pick or the 11th overall pick. That's all still on the table. And this actually gives the Sabres a stronger way to do it. For example, you know, a lot of, you know, Nietzsche's from Carolina.
Right.
A lot of teams, they say they've been in on it. Okay, you've been in on Nietzsche's. New Jersey also been in on it. They have the 10th overall pick. They don't have any second round picks. Buffalo actually has New Jersey's second round pick because they got it from San Jose, who got it in the Timo Meier deal. Buffalo has 2 second round picks. So really, Buffalo has put itself in a stronger position, even though they went down three spots. Because if you're Carolina, would you rather just have the 10th pick and then whatever that you really can? Or would you rather Buffalo sweeten the deal, give you the 14th pick, and then you can tell Gary Bettman's just been introduced. would you rather have the 14th pick and be able to sweeten it with a couple of second rounders? And I think it's to a point now where the Sabres should be ready to, if you got to overpay by one prospect, do it. They got so many. It's not when Murray was here and they overpaid for O'Reilly, they overpaid for Kane, they overpaid for Leonard, and they were out of prospects. And it didn't work.
Yeah.
And they had nothing in the pipeline. You can't do it with everybody, but you could do it with some. And I think in this case, if you have to put an extra prospect in there and people are saying, well, you overpaid a little bit, I think it's worth it.
All right, Paul, we're going to check in with the commissioner here, Gary Bettman. We'll get picked this up in just a moment.
Okay.
Hockey League is thrilled to bring this event to this remarkable venue that has redefined entertainment. And we are honored to stage the first sporting event and the first live televised event at Sphere Las Vegas. Our thanks to James Dolan for welcoming us into his creation and to all of the talented people at Sphere for helping us make the 62nd NHL draft the most dazzling yet. Congratulations to all of the prospects with us here at Sphere for getting to this point. And congratulations and thanks to all of the parents, siblings, and other family members and coaches whose support cannot be over-acknowledged. And thanks to the best fans in all of sports, whether you are here tonight or watching at draft parties or anywhere in the world. We appreciate your incredible support. The first pick in the 2024 Upper Deck NHL Draft belongs to the San Jose Sharks. San Jose, you are on the clock.
All right, so there's the Commissioner Gary Bettman and a pretty rowdy atmosphere. And, Paul, we know the general manager of the Sharks very well, the former Sabre Mike Greer, and probably no surprise what he's going to do here.
Yeah, we know exactly what he's going to do there. I'm to the point, is why are we going to go through the whole process here? But I guess they will for TV. By the way, I am now impressed. I guess I just needed to see the effects here. And, when, you know, when they kind of exploded into the Sharks and their logo and the video that they're playing right now, and it seems like it's real ice, and I'm extremely impressed now. I guess I just needed to see things get started. I was pretty like, huh? What's the big deal here? Now well, I see it. Now well, I understand it.
On TV, they're showing people in the crowd like looking up to see the video board display, which is obviously really
on the
impressive.
Ceiling directly above me. But you have to look directly above your head. It's on the ceiling. It really is cool. As I said, they just didn't have any of this for why we were getting ready. And now that I see it, now I get the hype. I understand.
Very cool. All right, Brayton, so San Jose has a few minutes here to make their pick. I know your mock draft, along with every other mock draft in the world, has the same gentleman here going first.
Yeah, Macklin Celebrini is a slam dunk first overall pick here in this class. He is clearly the best prospect of everybody available in this year's draft. Well-rounded forward, plays really well at both ends of the ice, skates really well, shoots really well, has a great hockey sense, has great vision, has high hockey IQ to be able to see players plays developing players in open space. He's willing to go into the tough areas. He's willing to go to the front of the net, go into scoring position. You know, obviously when he gets to the NHL level, it's going to be the adjustment going from the collegiate level to the top level of all hockey across the board. But he's the type of player that has shown that no matter what level he goes to, he adjusts fairly quickly and he then takes over and just really dominates. I mean, when he was at the USHL level a couple of years ago, he was one of the best players named MVP of the league at age 16. And then last year, obviously going to Boston University, quickly developed into one of the best players at the collegiate level and named the Hobey Baker winner as the best collegiate player, which is pretty remarkable. The youngest player to ever be named the Hobey Baker winner and also the fourth freshman, I think I have that right, fourth freshman in history to win the MVP at the college hockey level. So really a nice, well-rounded player. A lot of people want to compare him to like Sidney Crosby in certain ways. I think that's a little bit overblown, but I said this, I believe, with Sal earlier this week, where I kind of compare him in this year's draft to past prospects, maybe like a Jack Hughes sort of player, a really gifted forward, gifted player atop the class. You know, Jack Hughes might have needed a little bit more time to get really acclimated to that top level, but really good player overall.
Yeah, so the Sharks are about to make their pick, and we'll take you there live in just one moment. Of course, Buffalo has had the first overall draft pick four times in their history. And probably names that you can remember. Gilbert Perreault, Pierre Turgeon, Rasmus Dahlin, and Owen Power. All right, let's go to the Sharks pick. It's in.
I'd like to thank our great fans here and around the world.
Yeah!
And a big shout out to our draft party at the Shark Tank.
Especially there.
I really appreciate your guys' support. And I'd also like to congratulate Glenn Sather on her terrific career in hockey. Making our selection will be one of the greatest passers of all time, former number one overall pick, and Sharks great, Joe Thornton.
Yeah!
What a beauty.
Oh,
Jumbo. Jumbo's ready to play.
There's definitely some excited Sharks fans sitting close to the podium.
Here we go.
All right, here we go. Joe Thornton.
With the first overall selection in the 2024 NHL Draft, the San Jose Sharks are very proud to select from Boston University, Macklin Celebrini.
All right, so no surprise, Macklin Celebrini, the center, going to San Jose. And the Sharks are off and running here as we go back to Vegas and bring Paul in. Paul, no surprise here. But as you look back at those four Sabre players that I mentioned that went first overall, Perreault, Turgeon, Dahlin, and Power, we know Dahlin has really, really, I guess we'd say, you know, we've seen some really high moments from him lately. We feel like he's trending to live up to that billing. How about Owen Power? Where do you think he's at in terms of living up to the number one overall pick that he had a few years ago?
I like the second half of his season last year. He's still not there. But he's still very young. People seem to forget it took Dahlin over 3 years, and I still don't think Dahlin's there yet. I think there's more to Dahlin. He's very, very good, but I think Dahlin can be an elite superstar in this league, and he hasn't hit that yet. And by the way, I think for the Sabres to be an elite team, that has to happen. If it doesn't, the Sabres are going to have a hard time winning a cup or do anything. I think Dahlin has to be their leader when it comes to that. So, you know, but Power is a different type of a defenseman. Certainly not there yet, but as I said, I did like very much the second half of his season, and I think there's a lot more to give from him there, and I think, you know, if he keeps improving like he did in the second half, we'll see a lot more this year.
Paul, Power's game himself, we know, you know, what he did at Michigan in terms of helping out offensively. It was tremendous. How much of an offensive, I guess, threat do you think he should be with this team? We know he's obviously not going to quarterback the top power play unit because that's Dahlin's role, but how much more offense do you think Power needs to contribute over these next few years here so this Sabre team can go forward?
You know what, Brayton? He gets chances. He's almost like a rover in the offensive zone at times, and he seems to have a very good eye and a very good knack at jumping into the right place. Problem is, he either shoots it over the net or misses the net. How many phenomenal opportunities did he have this year where he missed the net? So I think if he works on that, I think you'll see a lot more production from him because he seems to know how to hit the holes and get himself open, but he has to be able to produce when he does that. So I definitely think there's more to give from him offensively.
Paul Hamilton in Vegas, Brian Colziel, Brayton Wilson, Josh Schmidt here. All right, Brayton, to you here. The Blackhawks are on the clock. We know last year, Connor Bedard, that worked out very well. He ends up winning the Rookie of the Year trophy yesterday. Where do you see Chicago possibly going here with pick two on your mock draft?
Well, this is the fun part of the draft where anything is possible after this point. I think it really comes down to two names for Chicago here with this pick. Ivan Demidov, who's a really skilled winger coming out of Russia, playing in the Russian Junior League there. Played a little bit in the KHL, but there really wasn't much to kind of take from that experience just because he didn't get a lot of the ice time. But he's a very, very skilled winger, just sees the ice incredibly well, has a really good knack for finding open space and getting into spots where he can really make plays at the next level. And then the other guy that I think the pick is going to be here is Artem Levchinov, who is a defenseman, born in Belarus, but has played North America for the past few years. He played last season at Michigan State playing with the Spartans, a big Really smooth skating defenseman, plays pretty solid at both ends of the rink. I think if I'm Chicago, I'm probably looking to shore up and maybe find a top-end defenseman here with this pick overall. But either way, they've got the next best player available with that pick, and I think either way you go, you're not going wrong.
Yeah. Paul, you look at the top of the draft here, Western Conference, Western Conference, Western Conference. So in terms of, like, immediate impact on the NHL, Paul, I guess the Sabres have to be thinking, well, at least another stud that we'll see maybe right away next year isn't going to be in our conference.
Exactly. And you know, as Chicago got Bedard last year, he won the Rookie of the Year. He won the Calder. Even with injury, I thought did everything that you would have expected out of him. And now you wind up with the second overall pick in the next draft. So just kind of stockpiling like the Blackhawks did when they got names like Taves and Kane and Keith and Seabrook. And Crawford, you know, that group where, you know, it just kind of, they had some drafts where they did, you know, have some high picks. They took advantage of it. Now let's see if the Blackhawks can rebuild the exact same way, basically.
Coverage of our NHL draft here on WGR brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Dash's Market. Stop the shop the family of finer foods at Dash's Market. Paul Hamilton is live at the Sphere in Vegas. Paul will be checking in with us throughout the night, and we hope to have access to the Sabres draft pick as long as logistically it works out well for us. Kevin Adams, of course, also may be able to join Paul at some point as well here. Macklin Celebrini, no surprise, the first overall draft pick by the Sharks. The Blackhawks are on the clock as of this moment with about 2 minutes left remaining here. And then it'll be Anaheim at 3, Columbus at 4, Montreal at 5, and then we get Utah, Brayton, making their first selection since the move from Arizona to becoming just Utah. We don't have a name for them yet, but they'll be, what, the Utah Hockey Club this year?
They're the Utah Hockey Club this year. They do not have a team nickname picked, but I think they are down to their final six. Utah Hockey Club is one of those six, which I think is just absolutely boring. I think the NHL should not try to take that soccer route when it comes to naming teams. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go. I know that the personnel from the Arizona Coyotes are going from Arizona to Utah, so the same general manager, the same personnel, player department, amateur scouting, pro scouting, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, certainly interesting to see where Utah will go. In my mock draft, I have them going Zeev Bouyam, who I absolutely love. He's my favorite defenseman out of all the defensemen available in this year's draft class. Just a high-end, really smooth-moving defenseman. Sees the ice incredibly well from the blue line. I mean, I think he sees the ice maybe better than any of the defensemen that are available in this year's draft, and had a really strong, solid year playing at Denver University. Won a national championship with the Pioneers. So certainly interesting to see where Utah goes. But, Zeev Bouyam, arguably, Macklin Celebrini is the top player that I've watched this year in this year's draft class. Ivan Demidov is number two for me, and Zeev Bouyam is number three.
Okay, so again, Chicago up here. We expect their pick momentarily. We'll keep Paul with us here at least through the Chicago pick. As Kevin Adams this week was pretty open about saying that they were close to trades, and he, in some sense, may be frustrated that he couldn't get one done here. What do you think the odds are between now and pick 14 that he's able to actually do something?
Oh, I'm not going to give odds. You just never know when it can come together. Teams may be waiting to see how the draft drops.
Yeah.
All right. Before they want to trade.
Yeah. All right. Chicago's picks in. Let's go to Vegas for the selection.
First of all, I'd like to say hello to all of our great fans back at our draft party in Chicago at the Barn. And to make our selection, 2023 first overall pick and 2024 Calder Trophy winner, Connor Bedard.
Bringing out high brass here right away, Connor Bedard. As Paul mentioned, won the Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year yesterday, a no-brainer. He was the top pick in last year's draft, and now he'll announce Chicago's
top
pick.
With the second overall pick in the 2024 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are proud to select Artem Levchinov.
All right. Okay. Two for two, Brayton. No surprise there.
Yeah. Go me.
All right. Artem Levchinov, defenseman, Michigan State. So two NCAA players going
1 and 2. All right, Paul, before we let you go here, I know we'll be checking back with you as we get closer to pick 14 here. The Sabres, I know you said you can't see the Sabres table themselves, but what are the Sabres logistically doing here? They're at a table on the floor with all the other teams, right? Kevin Adams is there too, and the opportunity to go around and talk with somebody else, they could do that, right?
They can go talk to somebody else if they'd like. They can do it by phone because each team, you know, it's closed circuit phones. Each team has a phone right at their table, so you can do it that way. A lot of GMs, because the media is always looking to see GMs talking, and they don't like to get that kind of stuff started. So some of them stay in their seats and just do it from there. So that, you know, that's the way they would do it.
Okay. All right, Paul. Well, thank you for setting the scene so well in Las Vegas. Obviously, if you get anything of information from the floor, get hold of TJ. We'll get you right on the air. Otherwise, we'll check back with you as we get closer to the Sabres selection.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton live in Vegas as we bring it back here to our Amherst studios. Josh Schmidt will be keeping you posted on what's happening with any rumors going on.
Nothing.
Nothing yet.
There's nothing. I want a trade so bad.
All right.
Draft night trades are
I
so
want you
fun.
To talk a lot because that means that there's action.
I know, but like I've been scrolling for like what feels like hours, but it's only been about 25 minutes, and there's just no rumors, no rumblings, nothing so far. There's been a couple like almost trades that happened. Apparently, there was a big package from Carolina to Columbus for the fourth overall, but Columbus is staying pat at four, so that's the closest we have for anything.
As they
right
probably
now.
Should stand pat.
Right.
They
yeah,
really should.
True.
All right, well, nothing. We're just awaiting. We just want anything juicy surrounding the Sabres here. This is going to sound like, you know, the immediacy that we want everything, right? Like very self-serving. I don't want the Sabres to pick somebody tonight because I want them to trade away a player that's going to play right away. And if you pick at 14, no offense to whoever gets selected, Brayton, but you tell me, you know the prospects better than me. No one that's getting selected at 14 is going to be suiting up opening night for the Sabres in the NHL roster, at least likely. So, right. So, I mean, the clock ticking on the Kevin Adams era here, like, I feel like I want to see that pick move for something that's going to be in a uniform on opening night in Prague.
That would be a lot of fun. That would be great to be able to use that 14th pick or use whatever picks or prospects that the Sabres have in their war chest, I guess I could say, to go after and get a guy that or multiple players that can help the team immediately. And that's got to be the goal going forward here, right? Yes, I know that over the years you've had the get the best player available, go get the player that's going to help your team right now and not right now, but just down the road, who projects to be the best player to help their team and be a competitive team consistently. Yes, that's been successful. They've drafted a lot of players, but right now, it's 13 years that you haven't been to the playoffs. The urgency has to be, we've got to get there now. We have to get back to the playoffs immediately. And that means you've got to trade some assets, that whether it's the 14th pick, whether it's one or both of your second-round picks that you have, whether it's Noah Oslin, Matthew Savoy, Yuri Kulik, Isak Rosan. You got to be able to swing some of these picks in order to be able to get a player or multiple players that can help your team immediately, and that has to be the goal of the organization going forward.
We'll finish with this. Somebody asked me this today, and I didn't have an immediate answer, and then I was hemming and hawing on it. Somebody said, is this Kevin Adams' last draft if the Sabres do not make the playoffs this year?
I think it would have to go incredibly bad next year for things to change in the front office, at least right away. I think it would have to be similar to the year that kind of happened this past year, where it was high expectations for the team. They were so close the year before to getting into the playoffs. And then this past year, it was, well, the team kind of took a step back, and they fired Don Granato. If the team even takes a further step back from what happened this past year, I think heads will roll with Kevin Adams and maybe some of the others in his front office. But, you know, there's a lot of pieces in that Sabres front office that are likable. You know, Jason Karmanos, I think, has done a great job in terms of what's happened in Rochester. But I was on with Gene Battaglia and Mike Danger yesterday in Rochester. And I said, look, the success has been there in Rochester. We've seen the team be consistently good. You've had Seth Appert, who was a good head coach in Rochester, and they've consistently won and consistently made the playoffs. Now that goal has to be at the NHL level. That goal can't be no longer in the prospect system or anything. It has to be with Buffalo and the Sabres going forward.
Yeah, I would agree. I after going, I ultimately sided with that if they aren't any better, that like you said, if they're the same, they finish 10th or 11th, I think this could be his last one. But we know Kevin Adams, obviously, and Terry Pegula, you know, they have a lot of faith. All right, before we go to our first commercial break here, Anaheim at pick 3, it's in. Let's go to Vegas for the selection.
We would like to dedicate our draft 2024 to Glenn Cochran and his family. Glenn fought his battle with cancer courageously. We will miss his character, his humor, and positive attitude. Glenn was an integral part of our scouting staff, amateur scouting staff, for 17 years. He's one of the finest men I've ever met and will be greatly missed. Making our selection is former great and Anaheim Ducks captain, Scott Niedermeyer.
The Anaheim Ducks are proud to select from the Oshawa Generals, Beckett Seneca.
Man.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Oshawa, that, right winger.
That reaction right there from Beckett Seneca says it all.
Look at him. He's stunned.
He is stunned. I'm stunned. Beckett Seneca.
Was this a player you possibly thought the Sabres could have?
I had the Sabres picking Beckett Seneca because I think that's where I thought he was going to be. Background story on Beckett Seneca. When he first came into the OHL and played with Oshawa, he was 4 or 5 inches shorter than what he's listed at now at 6'3". He had a huge growth spurt, and at the beginning of this year, a lot of people thought Beckett Seneca might be second round pick, maybe falling into the third round. And as the year went on, he showed a lot of confidence in his puck handling. He's arguably one of the best puck handlers in the entire draft class. He has a ton of confidence when he moves around the ice. He skates fairly well, not the greatest of skaters, but he's got a nose for the net. He goes and some of them, like I think that he's going to be sort of like Chris Kreider in a way, with just a drive to the net. He's a guy that I did not expect to go this high in the draft, but man, that face says it all in terms of just the surprise from his point of view and my point of view as well. Beckett Seneca going third overall to the Ducks is, I don't know, maybe a stretch?
Yeah. Well, Anaheim, by the way, I love their new jerseys. Kind of
they're great.
The rusty orange.
They are great,
look. Yeah. All right, so we got our first surprise, Anaheim with Beckett Seneca. All right, right winger from Oshawa going at pick 3. Columbus, Montreal, Utah, the next 3 at 4, 5, 6. Buffalo is at 14. We'll step aside here on our draft coverage on WGR. Paul Hamilton's live in Vegas. Josh Schmidt, Rayton Wilson, TJ Luckman producing. I'm Brian Colesiel. Coverage of the NHL draft on WGR brought to you by Fiegel, Kyra, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods at Dash's Market. More NHL draft coverage after this timeout on WGR.
The 2024 NHL Draft is underway. San Jose selects Mack and Celebrini at 1 overall. Then in the second spot, Artem Levshinov goes to the Chicago Blackhawks from Michigan State. And third overall, a surprise, Beckett Seneca to the Anaheim Ducks. He was projected 13th overall, rated by NHL Central Scouting among North American skaters. And in the commercial break, Columbus selects Caden Lindstrom at the fourth overall spot. Sabres pick 14, trading back with San Jose yesterday from pick 11. They have yet to make any other moves, and pick 5 is now on the clock.
All right, Josh, thank you very much. Bring it back here on our NHL draft coverage. Brian Colesiel, Brayton Wilson, Josh Schmidt, TJ Luckman producing. Paul Hamilton is in Vegas. We'll check back in with Paul about a half hour or so, or if we get any breaking news, we'll do that so earlier. Brayton, so far, what do we have? Center, defense, right wing, and center.
And
I know pick 3 was the stunner. The other 3 lining up around maybe what you thought?
Yeah, Caden Lindstrom is, I mean, he's just a big presence down the middle out of Medicine Hat. There was some concern heading into the draft about a possible back or neck injury with like a herniated disc or something like that, a la like a Jack Eichel. But not enough risk to let, you know, Columbus snatch him off the board with the fourth overall selection. But Lindstrom, 6'4", 216 pounds. He has a lot of potential to be a force down the middle, a power forward, power center. Just the size is there. His skating is a little odd. He's almost got like an upright skating, not to the level of like Jack Eichel's, but just his skating is weird. But he generates a ton of power with the size and the strength that he has. He's got one of the best releases off of his stick in the entire draft class. Another year or two to really refine and overall fine-tune his game in Medicine Hat in the Western Hockey League, which could be one of the better teams in the next year or two in the Western Hockey League going forward, certainly will help. But as long as he stays healthy, Columbus might have maybe a number one, number two center option here in the years to come.
All right, so now it's the first Eastern, I'm sorry, the second Eastern Conference team we've seen, but within the Sabres division here, Montreal is up. And
they're not trading the pick, by the way. It is very clear that they are not trading the pick. They're going to make this selection with the fifth over. There was some speculation that they might look to try and trade up from where they are or even trade out from where they are. But I don't remember who said it, but they're going to stay put and take the pick. Dreger just said they're expected to take Ivan Demidov. So we will see where that goes.
With Demidov, maybe surprising that he's available here. Maybe the Montreal didn't expect it, right?
I mean
with the Seneca pick at three, maybe they thought Demidov may not be here.
Well, I mean, the Seneca pick at number three, I think, took everybody by surprise. But Ivan Demidov falling into the hands of the Montreal Canadiens kind of worries me a little bit, just because he's really a super talented Russian player, another one of these talented Russian kids. And, you know, he's, mind you, I say this because Matvei Michkov, there was concern that he was going to stay for all 3 years, that he was under contract, mind you, with the same program that Ivan Demidov plays with. But he's going to take a couple years to play in Russia before making the jump to North America. But then, you know, Matvei Michkov happened. He played 1 year, and then they allowed him to terminate his contract to come over and play for the Flyers. So anything can happen with these Russians. I think the Russian factor gets overblown big time, especially with these top prospects, because I think a lot of them do want to come and play in North America and play in the NHL to make a name for themselves over here. It's more so the Russian prospects that are the later rounds. You know, are they going to come over? I mean, Nikita Novikov, Paul's said it, and I think we've heard it from Kevin Adams and others in the Sabres organization. He was the late round flyer because, yes, he had second or third round talent, but everybody was like, yeah, but is he going to come over? And he came over within a year after he was drafted and already looks the part playing in Rochester. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, injuries or whatever happens in the NHL, he might be one of the first guys to get a call up from Rochester next year to get a look at the NHL. And he's a guy that's just big. He's got underrated offensive talent, Novikov does, with the Sabres. But he's a super solid two-way defenseman for the Sabres right now in their organization, their pipeline. I think that he'll be very heavily looked upon in the years to come here in Buffalo.
All right, so Montreal is getting on their way up to the podium, so we'll be taking you live to the Sphere here in just one moment. After Montreal, it's Utah. Yes, Utah, remember, moving from Arizona. They'll be at pick 6, followed by Ottawa at 7. The Sabres, again, we're coming into the week picking at 11 with the trade with the Sharks. They are now picking at 14, but did pick up a extra second-round draft pick in that deal. Okay, it is the Canadiens who are up.
Bonsoir, Las Vegas. Nous aimerions remercier nos partisans pour leur soutien. To make our 2024 first selection, I'm pleased to invite on stage our number one fan, the one and only Celine Dion.
Now right. That's how you announce a pick.
That is, we thought Connor Bedard was a big deal. Bringing out Celine Dion, as you have to say it that way, obviously.
Practically bringing out Canadian royalty here.
This is Montreal moves to the top of the draft in terms of the best draft announcer.
Best presenter thus far.
Thus far. We're still 44 minutes into the draft here.
This is definitely adding to the side topic of
who's Buffalo's
celebrity person to bring out.
Bill Fichtner.
To make the selection.
Fichtner is probably a good guess. That could be
good. Yes, Montreal. High marks here for bringing out Celine Dion. All right, she's going to make the selection here at pick 5 for Montreal.
Bonsoir à tous. Good evening, everyone. I'm excited. Not even a hockey mom. I'm excited et très fière d'être ici ce soir. With the fifth overall selection in the 2024 NHL Draft, the Montreal Canadiens are proud to select Ivan Demidov.
All right, so there it is. The she knows how to.
She knows how to.
She
add
is
the drama.
Just a show. A showman.
That's right.
Setting a tone for the show.
That's right. There's the first Russian to go, Ivan Demidov. Just like you expected, Brayton, this wasn't a surprise.
No, not really. No, Demidov, there's, it's tough with the situation right now, the political situation with Russia, and obviously with their war in Ukraine. A lot of scouts, a lot of draft pundits, not really able to watch much of any Russian players live. They can watch, on whatever feed or whatnot they have over there in Russia. But from what you could see over in Russia, he's just a really dangerous player with the puck on his stick. He's quick to possess the puck. He's quick to make decisions out there. He moves around with ease. He's willing to show some skill while also show a knack to get to the net. He's got great vision and anticipation. He's just as dangerous shooting the puck as well. A really, really nice winger that if obviously he continues that positive development that he showed throughout the year, he could easily be the second best prospect behind Macklin Celebrini to come out of this class.
All right, we are through five picks. The Utah Hockey Club coming up. And then after them, Ottawa, Seattle, Calgary, Jersey, San Jose, Philadelphia, Minnesota, and Buffalo at pick number 14. Our coverage of the NHL Draft here on WGR brought to you by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Market. Josh Schmidt, Brayton Wilson, I'm Brian Kulziel. Paul Hamilton is in Vegas. Our continuing coverage of the NHL Draft coming up right after this on WGR.
On behalf of the NHL, we are delighted to welcome Ashley and Ryan Smith and the state of Utah to the National Hockey League. And by the way, it's Ryan's birthday. Happy birthday, Ryan.
We'd like to give a shout out to all our fans at the Delta Center. Can't express in words how pumped we are to play there in our first game. To make our first selection, Ryan and Ashley Smith.
Can't boo us, we haven't even done anything yet. I like it, let's go. All right, we're super proud, we're honored to be here. We want to welcome everyone to Utah for many, many years to come. We're super proud for the first selection in our franchise's history. For 2024 draft, Utah selects
Tej Egimla.
Wow. Jerome's boy.
All right, a familiar last name, Tej Egimla, going to Utah at pick six. As we welcome you back here, NHL draft coverage, Brian Kulziel, Brayton Wilson, Josh Schmidt with you. Ottawa now on the clock at pick seven. But Egimla, pick eight, Brayton. I know that's a name that if you're following the league, Jerome Egimla, 1995, selected by the Flames, had a great career with Calgary.
I was only three when they drafted Tej Egimla, or Jerome Egimla.
I wasn't born.
Yeah, I know you weren't.
So what kind of a player is Utah getting?
Yeah, Tej Egimla is an electrifying player. Another player who I think at the beginning of the year, people probably saw him as a first-round pick, but maybe a later first-round pick. He rose up the board a lot this year with a 47-goal season in the Western Hockey League with Kelowna. 84 points overall in 64 games. One of the best shots overall in the draft this year. He is not exactly the biggest at 6 foot, 185 pounds, at least what he's listed, but he definitely is like his dad, where he's not afraid to get into the dirty areas to make the necessary play. Certainly, maybe I think maybe a little more offensive skill than his dad, but his dad was so good anyway. Definitely different in terms of the playmaking capabilities. I think Tej is a little bit more of a better playmaker, but certainly shares a lot of similar traits with his dad. As long as he continues to grow his game overall, I think a good theme of this year's draft is a lot of high-end potential talent, but a lot of growth that still needs to take place with a lot of these prospects. But Tej Ginla, it's not really a surprise to me that he went this high to Utah. Utah, though, making a flashy first pick in their first time in their history with taking a guy like Tej Ginla.
Yep, it's a last name hockey fans definitely will know. Well, before we go to break here, I put out a tweet saying, what Buffalo celebrity that should introduce the Sabres pick? Any connection to Vegas in any way? And we've gotten some interesting replies.
Yes.
The most popular selection is actually Jack Eichel. Probably got about five or six people saying Jack Eichel. We have multiple votes for the Goo Goo Dolls.
Mm-hmm.
We have Alex Tuck because of him time spending in Vegas.
We have Paul even.
That's right. We have a Paul Hamilton. We have a couple of Nick Bakayes, which
would be good.
Jay McKee.
Nick's going into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame with Howard Simon this year, by the way.
That's exciting.
Yep.
That they're getting it. Jeff Skinner. Yes. So a couple of Josh Allens as well.
Hey. So why not, right?
You want to give me your thoughts on who should introduce the Sabre pick? We've had some celebrities do it so far. So far, we're definitely putting Celine Dion on the top of the list. No doubt.
It's going to be hard to top it.
I know, for Montreal. All right, Ottawa's on the clock here, and we'll stay for Ottawa's pick, and then we'll get in another break here as we get to the top of the hour. And again, Paul Hamilton is in. Yes, Paul Hamilton is in Vegas, so we'll be checking in with him at some point during our second hour. But after Ottawa here, come more Western Conference teams coming up. Seattle at 8, Calgary at 9, and then the Devils are at 10. When you think about the Sabres at pick 14, you know, what have the Sabres done around that spot? Well, last year, 13 was Zach Benson. Played 71 games last year. That obviously is off to a tremendous start. And then you've got Noah Oathlin at 16 the year later in 2022. And then, of course, Isaac Rosanne at pick 14 exactly in 2021. So the last three selections are all players that, you know, you could say so far they're all looking promising. If you want to go back to the last time the Sabres exactly picked at 14 after Rosanne, it was 2012. That was Zemgus Girgensons, who's played almost 700 games in the National Hockey League. Okay, Ottawa, the pick
thank
is in
you
at
Vegas
7.
Thank you for a great week hospitality. I'd like to thank our fans back in the Ottawa-Gatineau community for their great support. Avec le septième choix de premier tour, les Sénateurs sont fiers de sélectionner du the Calgary Hitmen of the WHL, Carter Yakimchuk.
There's a defenseman.
All right, Carter Yakimchuk, a defenseman. That's our second defenseman to go, Brayton, so far here. Quick thought on that pick here before we go to break.
Yeah, Carter Yakimchuk was the player that I originally had mocked to the Sabres when they had the 11th overall pick. 30 goals in the Western Hockey League this past year. He's the first defenseman to do that in over 20 years in the Western Hockey League to score 30 goals from the blue line. Really good shot, good puck presence. He doesn't necessarily skate the greatest, and he might find himself in some trouble when it comes to making decisions when jumping up offensively. But there's a lot to like with Yakimchuk overall, and I think that those are the traits that can easily be worked out and ironed out in order to make him a really effective player from the blue line.
All right, good stuff there. Seattle, the Kraken, they're on the clock. We'll take a timeout here. Hour number two of our NHL draft coverage rolling on. Buffalo at 14. We're getting closer. We hope to have it next hour right here on WGR.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.